So I'm Sherry Taylor. Welcome to Rock Solid Faith. Pastor's away tonight, but I'm going to hopefully do great justice to the Word of God. Amen. So let's open up in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth of it. Lord, I thank you that even today I can apply whatever I learned in my devotion time, Father, that, you know, I can apply it to my everyday life. Not only the day that I've already put behind me, but also going forward even into this evening. Lord, I thank you that your word is just easy to understand. And I thank you, Lord, as we study it out, as we walk it out every day, Lord, that we grow more like you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about covenants, right? The covenants with man. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract. Contracts can be tricky, right? That's why we have lawyers. That's why they get paid $250 an hour. Because contracts can tend to be sticky. They can tend to be difficult to understand. And if you don't read through the full contract, you can miss important parts of it, and you can either violate them or you can get robbed, right? Because there might be something in there that you're supposed to have, but if you don't know what the contract says, you're not going to get it, right? So even God made covenant with man. He made a contract with man, several contracts, actually. And we're going to talk about those tonight. A contract is binding. I sell real estate. And so when someone says, I want to put an offer in on a house, there is a contract that we have to complete. We have to fill it out. And there are certain conditions in the contract. The seller has to do this. The buyer has to do that. There are conditions that have to be met in that contract. And it's binding. If the buyer does not give me their deposit money, there is no contract, right? Because there's nothing that says we're going to move forward. That is your commitment to moving forward on a contract when you give me your earnest money check to have deposited with our real estate company. And it goes towards your closing. Well, there's definite rules and regulations that are associated with contracts. God, he made contracts with us. He made a covenant with us, right? There's the old covenant and the new covenant. Today, we are under the new covenant. But God is so good at making covenants that he merged the old and the new. So we aren't violating either, right? We get the benefit of both the old and the new covenant under the new covenant. A covenant is a contract is a man's word, right? The man's word is his bond. If you, in the old days, right, you used to be able to shake somebody's hand on a deal and say, hey, we're going to go forward on this deal, handshake sufficed. I tend to think my parents bought this old rickety house in Massachusetts where I grew up. And the older man that sold it to them was Mr. Chartier, and he was grumpy. And but I really know that there was no literal contract, even though he loaned my parents $7,000 to buy that house, right? It was all done on a handshake, even in the 60s. Today, nothing is done on a handshake, rarely, right? Because why? You're worried about you're going to get stiffed. You want to make sure you're covered on all levels to get exactly what it is that you're supposed to get out of that contract, right? Most people do not hold their word as their bond. Great evidence of a contract is marriage. You know, marriage is a contract. It's a covenant between a man and a woman and God. It's a three-way contract. We have, I work at Corning, and we have what's called an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement. And that is a contract between a company and Corning and, you know, all three parties, if it's three parties or two parties, that we're not going to tell you anything that, you know, that you give us, and you're not going to tell anybody else about what we're going to give you. That's a contract, right? Marriage is a contract. Some of us have experienced divorce, and, you know, it's in your past. It's whatever the reasons were, that's between you and God. But guess what? I can't just decide to divorce my husband today because he irritated me over coffee this morning. And a lot of divorces are definitely experienced in that setting where they just didn't like what someone did or had to say, and they just decided to end the whole thing. That's not how you walk out that contract. You have to do it in the manner that God has called us to. It doesn't hold much power unless both parties are participating in it, correct? Let's look at the covenant that God still holds true to his word. Psalms 138:2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. He holds his word above his name. If he's told you he's going to do something in the word of God for you, you can take it to the bank. You can be guaranteed that when you call out to God and say, Lord, you told me you would heal my body, that he's going to heal your body. Amen? Now, what you do with his word is totally up to you. If you don't believe his word that your body is going to be healed, that's not God's fault. That's your fault. You need to believe his word, because his word is already done the work. His word is held above his name. Amen? This means that when he makes a contract or a covenant with someone, he keeps his word. Romans 3:3-4 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, every man a liar. That's the truth. God is not a liar. He's not going to back out on whatever he told you he would do. If God says it's true, that's it. It's done. It's fulfilled, right? And we have to get better at applying the word of God. If God has spoken something to you and this is how you decide if it's God or your pizza or the devil talking to you, if it does not line up with the word of God, it is not God talking to you. Amen? It has to line up. And if he said he's going to do it, he will do it. No matter what, and not maybe in the way you decide or you're thinking he's going to take care of it, but thank you so much. But in the way he chooses to do it, because he is God. Amen? We are not. And that is the truth. Thank you so much. A covenant always costs you something. When I write that real estate contract for you, I'm expecting you to hand me a check, right? Exactly. I will ask you for the check. It's true. But it's going to cost you something when that contract goes into effect. And, you know, the bank, you call the bank and you ask them for money. Well, you have to sign a mortgage. And there are all kinds of terms with that mortgage. They're not going to just say, you want $250,000? Oh, sure, come on down. We'll just shake hands over that. And I'll just hand you a check. Here, take it. And if you ever pay it back, great. Just pay, if you can only pay $20 a week, that's perfect. No, the bank doesn't do things that way. It's a contract. We wish you would, right? We wish they would. When it comes to God, a covenant always is sealed with blood. Let's look at Genesis 15:9-11. And so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram and turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And when he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. So you've heard that term, cutting a covenant, right? What in the American Indians, my brother used to try to do this to me, and now I really understand why. He'd say, hey, what do you do when you cut your blood brothers? You're making a covenant, right, to take care of each other? He just wanted to cut me. I know. You know it's true. And so, you know, it has to come, you know, that is a covenant that people group make with each other. They figure if they mix the blood, right, that's a, I'm going to take care of you, you're going to take care of me kind of thing. Well, even in the Old Testament day, the animals, they had to be cut in two. The price of blood to seal the contract. And those entering into that contract could walk in between the sides to agree to the terms, right? That was how they conducted their ceremony of coming into covenant with each other. I'm so glad we don't have to get birds and, you know, stuff and ax them up because I don't think I could do that. A covenant was costly, and it was costly because if it was broken, there were consequences. See, today we like to live our life free, do whatever we want with no consequences. That is how today's world operates. They don't think that if you break the covenant, you are going to have to pay anything. If you break that contract, you don't owe anything. Well, that is the furthest thing from the truth because there is always a consequence to our action. Amen? And so it's important that both parties operate under the conditions of that covenant. Obedience to the covenant. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Who doesn't want blessings to overtake them? Amen? Because you obey the voice of the Lord. Now, how does that apply to me today? The Bible says that if I obey God in how I act, how I behave, how I give my tithe, how I love, how I treat people, that those blessings that he has for me is going to overtake me, right? Why? Because I'm in obedience to him. Obedience, trust me, my parents were strict. Aunt Queenie and Uncle Harold can attest to that. They were strict. And you know what? You didn't do anything but obey. That was the only way to happen and live and continue to live and breathe. Obeying was critical, a critical point to peace being in the household. So again, Pastor didn't always recognize that, but that's okay. So the breaking of the covenant caused consequences, right? So when Pastor Spencer was naughty, there were consequences that had to be paid. When we were disobedient, there were consequences to our actions. And our parents weren't shy about enforcing those consequences. And today, if we say we love God and we don't obey him, have any of you ever experienced consequences to your disobedience? Maybe that poor decision you made that you've been living with forever, right? The thing that has followed you around. Because of those consequences, you know, we are affected. Our lives are affected. Not to say that God can't change that. He can change the effect of your consequence. But there is always a consequence that is felt around our disobedience. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, 15. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his covenants and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Right? If you're not a tither and a giver, you're probably going to suffer some consequences in your bill-paying abilities. Amen? So there are, you see that, right? We don't need to belabor that point. So we all want the good parts of the covenant, but we don't want to experience the bad parts when we don't feel like doing those bad parts. So we have to decide how we're going to operate in our life. Are we going to operate and obey God? Or are we going to disobey and live with the consequences? Obedience is way better, I can promise you. Amen? I've been doing this a long time, and I have disobeyed at times. And trust me, the consequences to my disobedience were not great. Much easier to obey. Covenants have a diverse condition to them. So some covenants are unconditional. Now, wouldn't this be fabulous? So you go into covenant with somebody. They're going to pay you. No matter what, no matter if you obey the contract or not, they are going to pay you. You're going to get your portion, even if you don't obey, even if you don't do your part in that contract. Now, that is a fabulous contract, don't you think? Especially if you're on the receiving end of it, right? Those contracts are few and far between, I can promise you. That means that one participant of the covenant has to do nothing to receive and keep receiving those benefits. Most covenants are conditional. This means that both parties have certain things that they have to do. And if they breach the contract, if they don't fulfill their portion, what can happen? You can be taken to court. You can be sued, right? There's many of those types of conditions to breaching a contract. For the majority of contracts that God has made with man, there has been a responsibility on both sides of keeping their word concerning the agreement to keep things going forward with the benefits, right? Now, if I live a reckless life, eat whatever I want to eat, behave however I want to behave, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get heavy. My bones aren't going to be able to sustain my body. I'm going to go into poor health. I'll contract some horrible thing, right? And I can't possibly blame God because I haven't kept up my portion. Amen? Amen. He's keeping his covenant with me to give me life, to breathe. But if I don't keep my portion of that contract, I'm going to deteriorate. Amen? God is awesome in that he actively comes after us to encourage us to keep the covenant, right? That is who? That is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is very faithful about, what does he do? He brings conviction when we need writing, right? When we need to write some areas in our life, adjust some areas, he brings conviction. When we write those areas, what does he do? He brings blessing, right? So he is our guide through life into keeping the contract with God. And as long as our ears and our heart is attuned to the Holy Spirit, we will have no problem gaining the benefits that God has given us in the word. Amen? Let's look at Genesis 9, 12 through 15. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy." So this is when Noah, God made this covenant with Noah, that he would never again flood the earth beyond oblivion, right? And he made that covenant, and he's kept that covenant. And that is wonderful that God is keeping his covenant, because I don't think any of us would want to experience that type of a flood again throughout the earth. Amen? Now, despite all of our humanness and our, you know, disobedience, God is still keeping that covenant, right? That is a covenant that he is fulfilling. Genesis 17:21, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year." God kept his covenant with Abraham. He said he would become the father of many nations, even at 100 years old. I hope that doesn't happen to me. I'm so done. I like grandbabies better. The thing is that he made a promise to Abraham, and he fulfilled that promise to Abraham. What is the promise that God has made to you? What is that covenant that God has made to you? And you know, there are specific things that God will speak to us individually. You know, what does he promise to you? What are you believing him for? And you know that he's not going to lie to you. He's going to keep his promise. Amen? Amen? God does not lie. And he's always striving to give man the ability to respond to his covenants. He loves us so much that he's even created new covenants to keep the heart of man. Let's look at that. Hebrews 8, 6 through 12. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator." He's talking about Jesus, "of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant, the old covenant, had been seen faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord." Now you know what he's talking about. The Israelites, he made a covenant with them to take them into the promised land. However, they decided that they didn't, a whole generation decided they didn't want to obey God. There was a whole generation lost that never reached the promised land because they did not want to obey God's covenant, right? Now think about this for a minute. So you're an Israelite, you know, you get to tromp through the wilderness. God's giving you fresh food every single day, morning, noon, and night. He's giving you clothes. Now, ladies, we probably wouldn't have been happy. We would have had to wear the same outfit for 40 years. But guess what? The outfit did not wear out for 40 years. Amen? Their shoes never got holes in it. There was none sick among them. Over 2,000 people were brought out of Egypt. Now, you know, we're not just talking the men. They got to bring their whole family. Over 2,000 people were brought out of Egypt, and there was none feeble or sick among them. Yes. Oh, million. Yes. No, sorry. Not thousand. Million. Million. That's a lot of people. Amen. And not one of them were sick. You send your kid to school today and they come home with a cold, and then everybody in the world gets it in the household, right? So, I mean, you know, I never used to, but I tell you what, my granddaughter had the flu bug, and I had her literally for 2 hours, and I caught the flu. I'm like, I haven't had the flu in years. That's never happening again, ever, right? In the name of Jesus, exactly. I know, that's the problem. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." So that is the covenant. No matter what we've done, no matter, you know, what sin we've committed in our past, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and asked him to forgive you of your sins, they're gonzo. Amen? Aren't you glad? I was bad, and I don't want to live like that anymore. And so that is the covenant that he's made with us. And it goes from generation to generation. This means that my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, you know, goes through all the generations. It's the same, that God still wants to be their God. He still wants to be their Savior. Amen? That's good stuff right there. What other covenants that have been cut with man since the beginning of time today? Let's look at the covenant that God made with Adam. Hold on, I need a drink here. The blessing or promise. So Genesis 1:28. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" The condition is another covenant that God has made with man. Genesis 2:16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" The pastor's been talking about this stuff, right? The consequences of breaking the covenant. Genesis 3:17 through 21 says, "And then to Adam he said, 'Because you heeded the voice of your wife,'" now, "'and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to the dust you shall return. And then Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. For Adam and his wife, the Lord made them tunics of skin and clothed them. So this was the blood of the first animals killed to cover man, right? So God had to kill those animals in order to cover man. That covenant cost the life of the animal, right? Remember, there's a cost in a covenant there. The covenant that God made with Noah was the blessing and the promise of the covenant. We read through that already. But he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and winter and summer, and all, day and night shall never cease. Offered burnt offerings. This meant that blood was shed for the cutting of the covenant. Blood had to be shed for that covenant to be real, to be taken into effect, right? If I hand you a pen at closing, if you don't sign your name on the contract or on the mortgage, the house is not yours, right? It has to be signed for. You have to do something to get it. The condition of the covenant. This was an unconditional covenant that was established. The covenant was made with Abraham. Now, if you've never done study about what benefits you derive from Abraham, you should. Because remember, Abraham was not poor. Abraham was not this mild, meek little thing. Abraham was a powerful, wealthy man of God. Amen? And the Bible says that we can have some of the same benefits that Abraham was given by God. Why? Because the old covenant and the new covenant have been joined, and they pass over. Amen? Call those things that be not as though they were. That's what he did. When he was 100 years old and God told him that he was going to have a baby, he's thinking, huh? Okay, well, it took a long time for that to happen, but he never, ever thought God was lying to him. He was calling it forth. He was calling it forth. He was calling it forth. What's the thing that you need to call forth? Amen? That's your portion. That's your job. That's not God's job. He's already going to give it to you. The covenant that was made with Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 12, 1 through 4. For the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Think about that for a second. So, you know, a lot of times we have to have Jesus show up, you know, before we can actually believe the thing that God told us. We don't need Jesus to show up in person. It's nice if he will. But if God has spoken something to you, do you think he's lying to you? Do you think he's withholding your answer to be a big meanie? No. There's usually something that we were supposed to do. That's why we haven't received what we've asked for and what he's promised us. So this week, take that time to look at your life. Look at the things he's promised you, and then take an assessment. Where might I need to tweak? Where might I need to adjust to actually obtain the blessings that God has promised me and my family? Amen? That's rich stuff right there. A lot of times we don't like to do self-inflection about where we messed up, or maybe where we're just off a little bit. You know, I don't think people purposely go around, for the most part, purposely go around trying to disobey God. I think that it's a lot of it is a lack of interpretation of understanding what the word is saying, or they're lazy, or they just don't, you know, it's not a high priority for them at the moment. But most people, if they realized how powerful God is, and if they understood how loving and merciful he is, they would desire to serve him. They would desire to please him. Amen? That was free. I don't even know where that came from. Thank you. The condition of a covenant. The covenant was the covenant with Abraham, that was unconditional. The cost of that covenant was the blood of animals. He still had to do the sacrifices as the Lord was speaking to him to sacrifice. Follow those old covenant conditions, right? But do you think Abram was resentful that he had to go cut up a cow? No, because he knew if he did it in accordance with God's word and command, that he would be blessed, right? The blessings overtook him. You know, when Lot decided that he wanted the best part of the land, Abraham said, cool, take it. I'm going to go over here and God's going to bless me more. And that's exactly what happened. God blessed him more. Think about that in our own lives. You know, we always think we're giving up something. We're not giving up anything. If we would just obey him, how do you know what extra blessings are waiting on the other side? Just because you said, okay, God, no big deal. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it exactly how you told me to do it. Think of how blessed you are blessed, but think about how blessed you really could be if you just completely obeyed. Amen? The covenant established with Moses. So this covenant was established through the law, like the Ten Commandments, right? There were specific things that they were called to do. Let's see, Exodus 20, 1 through 14 says, no other gods, serve no other gods, no other idols, don't take the Lord's name in vain, observe the Sabbath, right? Honor your father and mother. You know what that means, boys, right? Honor your father and mother. That means that you obey them, whatever they tell you to do. Do not murder. That's a good one. Do not commit adultery. That's important. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. And do not covet. So why did God have to establish these laws? Because the people just didn't have any kind of a moral sense to just do the right thing. So then God seeing all their hatefulness, and so then he has to establish this whole set of laws for these people to live by, And that was a covenant. He told them, if you will do this, I will do this. If you will do this, I will do this. The law was the tutor, right? The law kept order. And the law made sure that everything was followed as best as it could. This covenant would help govern the people of God and teach them that they would not be able to fulfill the law because no man is perfect. Are you perfect? I am so not perfect. And you know what? That's why we have the Holy Spirit today who helps us fulfill the covenant with God. He is our helper in that. I was just talking to my Bible school class. We're learning hermeneutics, and that is how to study the Word of God. And we were talking about how, a lot of times people take something that is written and they add their own spin on it to mean their thing so that they can establish their lifestyle of preference and do their own thing. Well, that's not how God's Word operates. Amen? You have to follow His Word. His Word is not that difficult to understand. I was giving a specific example of Colossians. I've been in Colossians for my devotions this week. And Colossians 3, I love it. It's a great chapter. It talks about our behavior and our carnality, right? And how to keep it in check. And if I do that, if I don't act out in anger, if I don't covet somebody else's things, if I put off malice and blasphemy and every nasty, hateful thing that comes out of my mouth, then God can show my life, right? Can show himself through my life. And that is the blessing. See, a lot of people think obedience is so hard. It's not hard. It's really easy. It's just you have to have the right heart around it. Amen? And it's the heart of God that we look for. When you break a law, you have broken all of them. And that's what, trying to fulfill that law, right? How about that woman who was caught in adultery? Not just by one guy, five guys. And the thing is that the law said she should be stoned. right? But Jesus was there, and he was establishing a new covenant. He brought forgiveness. Amen? He brought forgiveness to her. And that is his covenant. Amen? Galatians 3, 23 through 25 says, but before faith came, we were under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So if you're a believer and you're spending time in the Word, you don't have to have someone standing over you with a hammer saying, oh, you know, don't covet their car. You know, don't steal from them. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't do all that stuff. No, because you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? He brings us to the truth of the Word out in us and causes us to act on that truth. Condition of that covenant. It was conditional. Obey and be blessed, or disobey and be cursed. Simple, right? What was the cost of that covenant? The law required many animal sacrifices to cover the sins of the people, and much blood was shed for that covenant. I'm so glad we don't have to do the animal thing. The covenant established with David. So this blessing of the covenant was that in 2 Samuel 7, 10 through 16, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them there, and they will may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them anymore as previously. Since the time I had commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy, yes, my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. The throne shall be established forever. So the condition of that covenant was unconditional, right? The seed would produce Jesus. The seed of David would produce Jesus, right? Important seed. We needed Jesus, right? This covenant was setting up for the Messiah to come and to create the last covenant with God's people. The last one. But the cost was very high. Amen? The same principles as found in the last covenant, the blood of the animals to cover the sins of the people. So that is the end of the old covenant, right? Because a new covenant is established with Jesus. So when you reflect on it, aren't you really pleased that you do not have to live your life by the old covenant? It must have been very arduous to, you know, if you mess up just one time, you can like die, right? If you stole one piece of bread because you were so hungry, you could die for stealing that one piece of bread, right? I mean, that is a tough law. That is a tough commandment to stand up to. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace, knows that we are human, amen? And he has provided a better covenant for us, right? Better covenant. Questions about tonight? Thoughts? Questions? No? Yeah.
I remember when, you know, when I first started as a believer, I would hear like Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory mm-hmm. of God, you know, that type of thing. And I would think to myself, well, if everybody sinned, you know, what difference does it make anybody? Anyway, you know, everybody sinned. But
right.
Then when, you know, how it says in Galatians that at the beginning of Galatians, Paul's talking and saying, this gospel that I preach, I got it by revelation
mm-hmm.
from Jesus.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't taught it by any man. And when I realized, you know, I got the revelation while God sent Jesus.
Yes.
And he's the perfect one, the God-man.
Yep.
He paid the price for
yep.
my sin.
Yeah.
And when I really realized, you know, when he gave the law, it was holy. It was written with the finger of God. And it was that schoolmaster mm-hmm. to show them that they were not holy.
That's right.
To show them their sin and yep. to show them their need for Jesus.
Yep.
It was just like, oh, what a God.
See, the thing is that we have to have revelation of the word. Mm-hmm. You know, the Holy Spirit has to give you revelation, or otherwise it's just a bunch of text, yeah. right?
Right?
Or it's just a preacher at the pulpit, you know, pointing his finger at you. The light has to go on. The Holy Spirit has to illuminate the life that's in the word. Because, see, when you begin to identify that life, I have a rich life because I choose to obey God, right? Now, I don't feel like going out and stealing anything, right? I don't feel like going out and messing around. I don't feel like doing things that go against God's word. You know, it's not that hard for me to obey, right? Because I have revelation that God is a good God. He has a great plan for my life. Jeremiah talks about that. He has a great plan for your life, not one of evil, but one of good, of peace, of joy. Now, if I put everything in perspective, I have to say that I would choose to obey above all things because I want peace. I want joy, I want blessing, and I want eternal life. Those are all things that I desire. But that is because God has given me revelation of the truth of his word and who he is. Our friends and families who are not believers, they haven't got that revelation yet. And that's why it's so important that we pray Ephesians, that prayer in Ephesians, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that they would come to know what their hope is in God, that they would come to understand what their inheritance is, right? What God has given them. So as we pray for our families and our friends who are not believers, that is the key right there, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened because they need to get revelation of who Jesus is and how good he is.
I wanted to say something now. Kind of been a mentor to me. I'm just kind of coming to God, and I would like to say new in faith. And he was seeing this testimony right before me, and he was saying, you know, God has, you know, humbled you and all these things. He was like, now it's time for you to get in the word. And I was, it was really great when you mentioned obedience. It's not, you know, a hard thing. But once you've been blessed, once you've experienced that blessing that God's given you, because you've started to get into the word, and the word is life.
Yeah.
And then you start to feel like, oh my goodness. And, you know, you see your family going through things around you, and you're like, it's not that they want to be disobedient. It's not, they don't understand.
They don't know.
I need to pray and, you know, understand how to stay in faith and bring them the word and not get discouraged. And, you know, so you never know how. One thing that you're saying to someone, that those one little things that you can do when they're going through something, how it can really shine light on their life. And I wanted to say that to you, that one little thing that you did for me in your home, and I was going through so many things and experience and hurt and, you know, grief and loss and oppression and, you know, trying to pray for household salvation. I have a 3 and a 1-year-old and all these little things, having those things that unfolded me and saying, Lord, just keep me in faith. And, you know, this here.
Amen.
One thing, and that picture that your wife gave me, she's not here tonight, she gave me this thing for me to read, kind of like a faith law, how to have household salvation over your children. I was thinking about abuse and trauma and all these little things, and I'm like praying for forgiveness, praying for healing. And as the word became life for me, it was easy.
Amen. That's right.
You know, look at these other people and say, oh my goodness, no, I'm not mad at you. I forgive you, and I hope that you're able to get this thing. And so, you know, it's been, but I'm not perfect. And the other day, I was listening to either Family Life or K-Love, and they said something like, I just want to hurt you, because I was trying to be, kind of being a little pigheaded, like, I don't want to do this, Lord. I know you're telling me to do this, but it's so hard. You know, in my head, and even my baby, who's 3, said to me, I was walking through the house, ranting and raving. He was like, Mommy, remember the enemy's already been defeated? And I was like, all right. And I just started to.
Out of the mouth of babes.
I've seen so much. That's right. And your trauma, and separation, and all these different things. I just, everyone just started looking at me like I was crazy because my circumstances hadn't changed or anything like that. But this joy, this there's a difference between happiness and joy.
Amen.
And I remember Al and Linda saying that to me. And Linda was like, you are experiencing joy, young lady. It don't matter. Like, this joy that this world didn't give you this joy. So no one understood around me why I started dancing. They were like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're still having the same thing, but it's the word. And I look at that picture every morning that your wife gave to me. You know, it's not a material item. It is not, it's not a car. It is nothing. It is a picture.
Amen.
With word.
Mm-hmm.
And verse throughout my house that has been a blessing to me. And that has really brought me out of a dark place. And I just wanted to thank you tonight.
Aww.
Let you know that you spoke life to me by giving me the word.
Amen.
And I thank you for that.
Amen. You know, if a church never experiences new births, like, this woman is, like, lit up, man. But honestly, us old Christians, you know, we kind of get fat and lazy, but we get complacent in our walk, in our zeal for God, right? And we need people, we need new babies that come into the fold that we can see that God is, like, changing them, transforming them, giving them a life that they never had before. And isn't that who God is?
Amen.
Amen? I mean, we were all in a mess at one point in our time. Right. Amen? Yeah. We might not remember, but we are. And that's why it's so critical that as we minister to people that we come in contact with, that we don't get looking down our nose at people for where they are. Because guess what? You were in the same mud that they were in at one point in time. Amen? And it's important that we encourage each other. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the last days. Why? Because it's going to get hard. And if you aren't having people around you to encourage you, to lift you up, to speak life to you when you're down, because you will go down. You will get down. Amen? James 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. Knowing that patience will have her perfect work in you. Yes. Amen? Yes. Causing you to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
But the thing is that we have to take baby Christians and we can learn something from a new Christian. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
He opened these doors for me and I left the VA. I was in mental health, a counselor there, working for the National Veterans Crisis Line and talking on the night shift, talking to people in dark areas when, you know, they were hurting and life, questioning life. And I ended up going through this experience and I thought that my career was over because I was forced out of that. And that's kind of where I met them. And he opened this position, a coaching position in teaching. And I was like, girls? Why? Oh, man, girls. I can't do girls. And I'm like, the women person. And I found myself starting to talk about God to the girls in a way that was different, that really reached them. And I went back to Chaplain. I said, Chaplain, no. It's not that people are rejecting the word, Chaplain. I feel like God is trying to tell me that there's different ways to. So because of what you guys did for me at a time where I was lost and people were judging me and, you know, he could have said, he brought me in their home and they gave me food. They nurtured my body. They gave me bread and they fed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was people like that. And I've received that here at HT.
Amen.
That, you know, nurtured me back to life. And that when the world was judging me and calling me names and trying to tell me I was crazy or, you know, you don't know who you are, judging me, you know, there was people that said, I know who you are. You are. You know, and Linda said, every time that Satan is trying to lie to you,
mm-hmm.
you look in the mirror and you say, I'm a woman of God.
Amen. That's right.
And now I'm hearing my children start to talk about God and stuff. And, you know, it keeps, every day is not sunshine. There are some days where I'm like, oh, Lord, the other night, you know, every day isn't. But it's those days that, you know, the word is. And so that's why I'm here, because the other day I was encouraged. They were like, you're ready. It's time now. God's been confronting me saying, okay, you're doing all this stuff. You got these verses that are, you know, helping you. But now it's time for you to learn and, you know,
Amen.
Not be afraid and just pray for, you know, understanding. And so.
And you'll be fine.
It's an honor to be here.
You will be fine. I have no doubt about it. God's going to do great and mighty things with your life. And he'll do them with all of our lives. Amen.
Yeah.
We just have to put ourselves in the right posture and position. So let's just seal this time around the word just in prayer and just thank him for what he's going to do even tonight. Even as you walk out the door tonight and you go home to your family, take the time to find those areas where you can be a blessing and be blessed. Amen. So, Father, we just worship you tonight. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you for perfecting us to be more like you. Thank you, Lord, that you're growing us. Even though sometimes we may not feel like we thrust that far ahead, Lord, if we think back to where we were, we would see what you've done in us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you will not stop until we are with you. And I praise you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, who is faithful and just to teach us your word, to bring revelation of your word, and to minister life to us as we walk out this life here on this earth. And tonight I pray for our pastors, that you would just be with them, bless them. And I pray, God, that you bring them safely home to us. And I thank you, Lord, for all our ministries. I thank you for blessing our ministries of this church, Lord, for with finances and whatever the material needs are. We just ask you to continue to do that work so that we can reach out and minister to others. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you. Those who are by live stream, we enjoyed having you with us tonight, and we'll see you next week.